Please be seated. During Holy Week, we are on a journey. And we begin this journey exactly where we are, exactly as we find ourselves this year. We set out just as we are emotionally, physically, spiritually. But it is my conviction that making this journey through Holy Week will change us. As we walk this way with Jesus, journeying with him to the upper room for the Last Supper, on to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the trial, the cross, and ultimately the tomb of burial and of resurrection, we will be changed in making that journey. Now, this journey is not just about what happened so long ago. It's not a kind of nostalgia. The reality is that in God, all time is caught up together, past, present, and future. This night and whenever we gather at this altar to celebrate the Eucharist, all of time is caught up in God. The past, the present, the future united, heaven and earth touching. And so, as we move through this night and the rest of Holy Week, we do so not only looking back in time to those literal last days of Jesus' earthly life and ministry, but we're also looking to the present as we make that journey with him, as we walk with him as he moves to death and then on to resurrection life. Tonight we come to the heart of this Holy Week. We begin the Triduum, those three holy days, one liturgy that stretches across them all. It is the heart of our liturgical year. It is the center of our lives. It is about these days and how they win for us salvation and redemption. How they reveal the great love of God made known in Jesus. The power of God's love, ultimately over the forces of this world. And so we begin tonight in an intimate way. Jesus gathers in the upper room with the 12 for a last meal on this final night before he is killed. But then during the meal, Jesus shocks them. He gets up and he starts washing their feet. He shouldn't do that. That's an action reserved for servants, for slaves. That's not for the teacher. That's not for a leader. Jesus washing his disciples' feet turns the power structures of our world upside down. It reveals the depth of Jesus' love for humanity. It makes clear to us Jesus' priorities. Jesus asked them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" But it's likely they don't understand it in this minute. Peter actually tells us this when he tries to stop Jesus from doing it. "No, don't wash my feet." But Jesus tells Peter he must. Peter, I think, is scandalized by Jesus humbling himself in this way. He's uncomfortable with Jesus acting as servant. As I say, in the first century, washing feet was all about someone of lower class. It was a sign of hospitality, but it's done by someone of lower status, especially servants. So Peter knows that Jesus, as the teacher, as Lord, as rabbi, should not be the one down on his knees on the floor. Not only does Jesus wash the feet of those at table with him that night, but he also teaches them about what it means to follow him. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you." We should do as he has done for us. And so Jesus commands those who follow him to wash one another's feet. Now, I understand this may not be the most comfortable thing I am saying we should do. I get that. It's rare for anyone in our age to wash our feet. We sort of leave that behind when we are no longer small children. It is a very intimate action, therefore, because it's something that doesn't often happen in a setting like this. And so it may be that foot washing makes us uncomfortable. We may actually really understand Peter saying, "No, you're not washing my feet." And yet this night, that is exactly what Jesus commands us to do. We are invited this night to wash the feet of someone and even to allow our feet to be washed. Foot washing is a clear sign of Jesus' love, of his call to the life of servanthood. To wash the feet of someone is not an act entirely for their benefit alone, but it is for us. In washing feet, we are showing care. We are working for the well-being of someone. It's an act of humility. It demonstrates the love that Jesus has and commands us to also have. And so tonight, we're invited to let down our boundaries, to allow Jesus to care for us, to minister to us through the act of another person. We're invited to open ourselves to the loving act of having our own feet washed, to that humble act of servanthood, which is the way of Jesus. And maybe this expression of intimate love by our Savior, God with us, shocks us, is uncomfortable. Who can imagine the Savior washing our feet? Maybe, like Peter, we'd prefer if Jesus didn't do that, didn't get down on the floor in front of us. The way of Jesus sets the world upside down. And so in a few minutes, you will be invited to participate in the foot washing. You'll be invited to remove your shoes and come forward. There'll be a chair here in front of the altar. And first come and let someone be servant to you and wash your feet. And then stand and wash the feet of another. And I ask the last person who comes up to wash my feet. Now, no one must participate in this. There are reasons, good reasons, not to. But I invite you to consider doing it. Consider entering into this intimacy, embracing how it might feel uncomfortable if it does. Let us together experience the act of service that Jesus showed us and commands us. For tonight, Jesus gives us a new commandment. In Latin, it's mandatum, from which the word mandi comes from. The mandate Jesus gives is that we love one another as he loves us. This love finds its meaning and expression in Jesus, who does not seek his own greatness, his own power, even his own honor. And his love is so great that Jesus washes the feet of everyone, even Judas, who will soon betray him. Jesus loves us so much that he washes our feet tonight, and tomorrow he goes willingly to die on the cross for love of us. And this night, Jesus also shows us his great love by giving us his abiding presence in the Eucharist, in the bread and the wine, his body and blood, heavenly food for this earthly pilgrimage. Jesus with us every time we gather at this altar, just as Jesus was with his disciples at the Last Supper. Jesus giving his body and blood, the bread and wine, to strengthen and nourish and literally form us into his body on earth. And so tonight Jesus bids us, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I don't think I need to tell you that this night our world is in desperate need of the love of God that is made known in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us come together in the love of Jesus. Let us come before Jesus tonight just as we are in precisely the place we find ourselves and accept the intimacy of his love. Allow ourselves to be served and to serve, and through him to be transformed into his holy people, his body on earth, people who love everyone without limit, people who go forth in the name of Christ to serve everyone. May we come this night and allow ourselves to be transformed into his loving people, people who live not for ourselves, but for love of others, who in fact die to self, that we might rise with him to new and eternal life. And so in the midst of all of the suffering and oppression and greed and hatred and terrible violence of this world, let us love. May people look at us, at how we live, at how we treat one another and all other people, and by that may they know that we follow Jesus, because they see our great love. Amen.